What's up and welcome to Ahead of the Curve. This is your host, Jonathan Gellner, and thank you so much for being with us today. This episode is brought to you by New Era. New Era is the official headwear provider of the MLB, NFL, and NBA. If you love to rock New Era caps as much as I do, then you won't want to miss this opportunity to wear what the players wear and get 15% off when you go to neweracap.com/AOTC and use code AOTC, all lowercase, at checkout. That's 15% off your order using promo code AOTC. On today's show, we have on Kevin Brooks, head baseball coach at Angelo State University. Coach Brooks has guided the Angelo State baseball program to 6 NCAA Division II College World Series appearances, 6 South Central championships, and compiled an impressive record of 742-333 since starting the program in 2005. In 2023, the Rams claimed the Division II National Championship for the first time in program history. On the show, we discuss his messaging to his team after coming off the national championship, what they're doing this fall to develop their players, and what his advice is on how to win in the postseason. Here is Kevin Brooks. Coach Brooks, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Honored to be here.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I've been a fan of yours from afar, and you know, with the season that you guys had last year, and I don't know you personally yet. We're going to get to spend some time together today, but I'm excited to get to learn from you. And I mean, I guess the first question that I want to really ask you, and it's a great question, is what got into you guys last spring? Like, man, like, you guys won a national championship, you guys finished it off and won the last game. So what separated that team from previous teams that you guys have had?
Well, I think just like all the teams, we've been lucky enough to get close several times. And you know, one, we got some breaks. I think you got to have some of those, and definitely did that. But I thought the thing that probably separated that group was just when we left, when we won the Supers, and you know, getting on the plane to head to Cary, there was just a relentlessness amongst the group that we weren't coming back without the big trophy. And, I think so much has to do with leadership amongst your players, and our seniors were unbelievable. And they, been there 3 times, 4 times during their career and hadn't gotten a good prize. And so I just think that probably had more to do with it. Plus, we were a very, very talented team that played baseball really, really well. And I think that was sort of the biggest thing. We were the best team at playing baseball. We just did fundamental stuff, and we did it really well.
I love that. And I think in at least in the seasons that I have experienced, I don't think I've ever, I know that I've never been undefeated and never had any sort of adversity come my way. So was there ever a time like during the season that adversity hit and you were like, man, I don't know if we're going to be able to accomplish the goals that we won, and then you had to turn it around? Or did anything like that happen to you guys last year?
It was really weird, and we've talked about this quite a bit. Before every season starts, I always tell them, I steal from Lou Holtz, who had a pretty good run, as a football coach. You're going to be hit. Every team's going to get hit 3 times with adversity, and how you respond to that probably ultimately is going to determine your season. And we didn't have a whole lot. I would say we early in the season, we were down going into the last game of series. We had to win game 4 to split series on the road. Came back, I think we were down 4 or 5 runs middle of the game, came back and won that one. That was good. Then our last series of the year, when we'd already sort of clinched everything, we got to game 4. We lost a doubleheader on Saturday twice by one run, and we're down about five or six going to about the sixth inning. And one of our seniors, guy that's just meant so much to our program, Jordan Williams, just sort of got everybody together and was like, "Hey guys, this isn't happening." He happened to be the leadoff batter the next inning, got on base, and then we started rolling. Then the only other one would have been, we almost didn't even make it to the Super Regionals. We were in a if game on a Sunday, and sort of same thing. We were down four, I think, going to the sixth, and sort of the same thing. The guys showed a lot of maturity and regrouped and found a way to come back and win that. But other than that, we were very blessed, to not have a ton of injuries and to just sort of it was pretty steady, which you generally don't have. What little adversity we did have, we responded very well to, and ultimately able to achieve our goals.
I love hearing that. And, it's that sounds like a dream of a season. And, coming off of that, I guess, you probably took, if you're anything like I think that you are, you took a couple of days and you're like, okay, like, how do we do this again? Like, what's next? And, talking about enjoying the moment. And I hope you guys got the opportunity to do that. And, you get to the summer and you start thinking about the next team. So tell us a little bit about, what you have done to really, I don't want to say flip the switch, because you probably have had a lot of people that left. You had a lot of returners and you're trying to do it again. I mean, that's obviously the goal every season, is to win a championship. So tell us about your approach on after you guys had gotten your moments of celebration, to now when we're in, almost December, trying to figure out, okay, last year is not last year, and how do we do this again? Like, what has your approach been with that?
Well, as you mentioned, so we got back in San Angelo, I think, about 4 p.m. on Sunday, and I was on a plane at 5 a.m. the next morning out recruiting. So we didn't have a whole lot of time to enjoy it, but again, want to go do it again. For the fall, as you said, we lost two pitchers to the Major League Baseball draft that were both juniors. And so a Division II juniors getting drafted is a little bigger impact. And then we lost, four starters off that team. So definitely had to replace those guys. We pretty much, felt like we'd done that already in our previous recruiting before we'd won the national championship. And then just the mentality of, making sure we're not resting on our laurels, so to speak. And our players have done a great job. I don't know what kind of season we'll have. I do know if we don't have the type of season we won't have, it won't be because we were complacent. Our players, most of them took maybe a week off, and then we're out playing summer ball, getting back, trying to improve their game, et cetera. And then in the fall, we sort of just let them go play. The teachable moment, I think, is something that's so important in being able to be successful. And so every guy you bring in, obviously they wouldn't be here if they weren't successful. And so when you start trying to change a lot of things, I think that trust factor between you and them may not be as strong as you want. So, we want to let them go play, see the things they do well, see the things we could help them maybe improve in. And generally those things we want them to improve in, they struggled with and didn't have success in the fall. And so now, we've got the great thing of the individual time that we get to spend after we're done with our team segment. And we scheduled it this year. We gave ourselves a little bit longer on that because we thought we might need it with more new players. And so we can address some of those areas that we feel like need to be improved. And so I think the audience is a lot more receptive when they failed. And then if you saw them do something really well that maybe is different than how you think it can be done, you've at least got enough reps to see how they are successful. So when things start going off in the spring, you can go back to that and, you know, go, okay, when you're having success, you were doing this or that or whatever. And so that's been a formula that's worked pretty well for us over the years.
I love that. Has there ever been a point this season to where you've said anything about last year's championship? Like, this is not what we did or what we're doing. I think the easiest thing to do is for, you know, players become complacent and you want to fight that every single day, whether that's complacent and where they're at on the team or where, you know, there's lots of different things. And, you know, it's the year after a state or after a championship, I'm sure, especially a national championship, can be hard. So I was just curious on that, if that's come up at all.
I'm sure it has in probably some moments of weakness and anger that probably has come up. But it really hadn't been a focus at all. I mean, our focus has been on what's next. You know, it was a great accomplishment for those guys that were able to do that. And we're a part of that team. And, you know, we want to go do it again. So, you know, it really has been looking forward. Obviously, we do use last year's team as an example sometimes of, hey, we did this really well. We're not yet to that standard. We need to try to get to it, and here's how we can get there. I think it's been a positive thing. Like I say, I don't think our coaches or players or anybody has gotten that the complacency or anything. So I feel like we're hopefully in a good place.
I love it. So with that, you know, let's talk a little bit about what you guys have gotten into this fall. So you don't win a national championship by just kind of going through the motions. So when those guys got back onto campus, what was your focus on with, you know, your players, with your player development? Like, what did you guys focus on this fall? And then where did you choose to spend all of your time, or at least how did you divide it up?
You know, we spent a ton of time on defense in the fall, and then with pitchers, just on being able to throw strikes. You know, that's obviously everybody throws hard nowadays. Some more than others have a little bit more trouble trying to hit the area that they're trying to throw it at. But we spent a ton of time on defense, and then two, just what it's going to take, you know, getting players into their daily routine that's going to work for them. I think it's different for everybody, and that's our returning players do such a great job of taking the new guys under their wing and just showing them, you know, hey, here's what it takes. It's an everyday thing, you know, as far as if you want to get better and you want to improve. And then you've got to, you know, it's got to be quality work. You know, I think there are lots of players out there that go out and put in the hours, but don't maybe do it with the correct intensity or the correct purpose or end goal in mind. And so I think our players are really good at translating that to the new guys. And then obviously those are all guys that have won a national championship. And so I think guys are more willing to follow. And so that's the biggest thing. We just try to get the routine down, you know, and get the work ethic down and get sort of the mental part down. And then we'll worry about the skill development later. You know, I still think that's probably sort of the most important thing of the fall is just understanding, the level at which you need to come out and compete at every day. And whether that's good or bad, you know, whether you have success or failure, I think if you can get that, you've got a pretty good chance going forward in the spring.
For sure. You know, I agree with that. And like I talked about fighting, just staying the same every single day and complacency and just understanding their routines and the standards that, you said every day. So how do you, besides, you know, speaking about it probably and holding them accountable on a daily basis and saying, guys, like, this is not the standard, or this is exactly what we want, like, these are the things that we need to do. Like, how do you establish that? So, you know, I think we're all trying to get to the level of where competing for championships every single year is the norm. So what would be like the process of you coaching us up on how to do that and how to get players to buy into doing that every single day? Because we can talk about it all we want. We can talk about winning a state championship, national championship, all of these different things, but it's different than putting in the work every single day and to try and make that a habits and routines that lead to that. So just tell us a little bit about your advice on that and just coach me up on how you would help me with that.
Well, I would say, and that's one thing, you know, is having learned from past mistakes. I started the program here back in 2005. So this is actually our 20th year, and we've been lucky enough to be pretty good, but we've had some seasons in there that, weren't our best. And I know there was one season where I really felt like I did a horrible job of, letting the new guys know, hey, here are the expectations, here are the standards, whatever. I always probably previously depended upon the returning players to do that. And I think after that year, that's our first team meeting is, I've got a list of, hey, we've been good, here's why. And then speaking to our returning players and impressing upon them the importance of their role in making sure that everybody's on board, making sure if something starts getting off track, we are aware of it quickly and then address that and fix it. And that's sort of how it starts. And then, when you get out on the field every day is just, the standard's the standard. It doesn't change, and so as a player, you've got to find a way to get to that standard or, you're probably not going to be a part of it. But, I think that's the biggest thing. We talk about it a lot. And then I think consistency, that's one of the things actually we talk about it. The biggest thing we look for in a player is consistency. And that can be, you don't want it to be consistently bad, but we want it to be consistently good. But consistency is in a player helps the coach so much because you got a pretty good idea of what you're going to get. The guy that's up and down and stuff, it's sort of a wild card, and it makes you makes it tougher for you as a coach to use them properly. And so we really stress that a ton. And then, like I say, when we're not meeting standards, what can we do to get there and improving that and hold guys accountable? But that's just the biggest thing. I think our coaching staff's real consistent on how we act, and it is, you can do the greatest job in the world yesterday. Well, now we got to get up and go try to do it again. Doesn't mean we're always successful, but that's got to be the game plan every day. And so I think that's the biggest thing we stress. And then just competing, you can maybe not do things mechanically correct or whatever, but that will to succeed can trump a lot of things.
Can you teach that or do you just recruit that?
I think it's both. We've always said we don't maybe get the best players, but we get the right ones. And, we try to get guys that we feel like a fit in. And, that's the thing. It's so hard to gauge, what a high school guy is going to do once he lives home and mom and dad and that support system. It's a tough predictor. But we try to recruit that. We've been pretty successful at gauging that. And then there have been some guys that have been super talented that we just didn't think were a good fit for here. And, I think a lot of that goes back to how we recruit guys, Maybe we need to go change. But I feel like some of the things we do, weed the type of guy that probably wouldn't be real successful here out during the recruiting process.
Oh, it's really good. And, you know, I got on and emailed you to see if you would, you know, want to come on the show. And then, of course, you know, I had to go through the ABCA files and I found some really good ones. And so, you know, one of my favorites is a coach that you actually hired from Georgetown. And, you know, he is actually one of like the best high school coaches that I've been around. And he is Coach Foster. And I went through his ABCA and I stole just about every single bit of it. And I'm sure that you guys, you know, you mentioned compete and he talked, I've got a whole, you know, slide deck of different things that they used to do at Georgetown. And when he was giving this presentation, he had either just been hired or he was in his first year and he had already agreed to do that. So he showed his high school video, but then also showed all of the different things that you guys did, a lot of the different of the same stuff. So if you want, like, I would love to hear, you know, different drills and things that you guys use to, you talked about compete and building that and already having that built in to some of the players that you have, but we can, it's a skill that we can get better at. So give us some insight on, you know, what you guys do to build competition within practices and I'll sit back and let you roll.
Well, first of all, you know, you brought up Adam and dadgum, what a great, you know, I've tried to hire him for about 15 years. And so finally we were able to make it happen. And what an impact he has had on our team and on our program. So you're following a pretty good dude because he's great. And it's great for me learning from him every day. And, you know, so he's been awesome. You know, I would say some things that we do, you know, in regards to team building is we try to let that happen naturally as far as within the locker room. Now, the best thing I ever did, however many years ago that we got our locker room, I guess it's been about 15 years, but our coaches' offices are in the locker room. And so I think that helps so much of for our players to see us as people, you know, not just the coach on the field. And so I think the trust factor due to that one little thing has just gone through the roof since we did that. And so I think that's been a great thing. And one reason too that we won last year on the national championship was basically we had a group that loved each other. And I know that may sound sort of sappy and stupid, but it's not. And, you know, I think when you have guys that really care about the guy next to them as much as they do themselves, which is near impossible in the world we live in today, I think that has just been huge. And so, you know, we just finished, as a matter of fact, our team ping pong tournament. I think they crowned a champion the day before we left for Thanksgiving break. But, you know, just fun things that don't really have anything to do with baseball, I think, is the best way to get people to come together as a team. And then we try to obviously encourage that. We pretty much every returner takes a new guy, and that's sort of their guy that they're in charge of to make sure we're showing them the ropes, and they're holding those guys accountable too on and off the field, and just little things like that. And I think just how you sort of build that thing though is it's a daily commitment to working on those relationships and working on those things, and there's not necessarily a magic pill. But, you know, it's got to happen naturally, and it's really cool to see it happen. And we've been able to have that happen on a pretty consistent basis.
I love it. You know, so with that, so let's kind of go through, is that most of the fall for you guys? Is there anything else you wanted to add to the fall before we get really into the preseason?
Not really. I mean, yeah, I think we got it.
Okay, perfect. So then you get to like the time period that we're at now. You guys do your fall competitions, ping pong, and then you get back. And so are you guys able to, so we're like, this will air, you know, 1st of December. So what are you guys doing currently at this time period? Like, what are the restrictions that allow you to do, you guys to do anything?
So right now we're an individual. So we've been in that about a month. So we plan for 5 weeks of that this year. That's according to the NCAA, you've got an 8-hour clock, and that counts any baseball activities you do or strength and conditioning activities. So we lift and do our speed work. You know, we don't do conditioning. We try to go get faster. So we do that from 3:30 to 5 on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And then we break all our position players and our pitchers up into groups of about two or three and do individual work with them 3 days a week for 40 minutes each. So we get to our 8 hours. For the everyday guys, we've been working on, you know, just hitting and our approaches and, you know, things we can get to get better at that. And that's generally when we have the biggest jump as far as performance is during this time. And it's been good to see a lot of guys make a lot of improvements with our pitchers. You know, we've got every one of them sort of in a different phase of what they're doing. Some are just now picking up a ball. You know, we shut down for 2 or 3 weeks. You know, we're not real big on the total shutdown, but, you know, lessening the intensity quite a bit. And then those guys will start getting back on the bullpen probably in about 2 weeks here and start getting geared up for the spring. But, you know, we try to get in the weight room, get bigger, stronger, faster, like everybody. And then those individual times are really great because, you know, it's just small, small groups and you've got time to sit and talk and sort of, you know, dive into some things that maybe you don't have time to do as much in a team setting. And like I say, that's when we really see, I would say every year, the biggest growth in our players. Because, you know, there are a lot of times in the fall, I believe me, we don't really want to go play a game against somebody. But by the time the spring gets here, we feel confident.
Love it. So you guys do, you guys will get like a month off for Christmas break or a winter break. What are you guys giving to your players and kind of what's the messaging behind what you guys are telling them that they need to be doing? Because once you get back, you only have a couple of weeks before you guys really get started. So what are you guys going to be telling them to make sure that they're prepared for that time period?
Well, I would say that's one thing, the messaging on how important that time is given quite a bit from the start of the fall, you know, all the way up until we'll have our last team meeting Friday. And so, you know, one thing that we really emphasize is this breaks is about as long as summer. You know, it's about 6 weeks, 7 weeks that we can't be around them. And so everything's on their own. And I think that goes back to the individuals. We try to do as good a job as we can on coaching our players to coach themselves, where, you know, we're not a crutch. I think that's, you know, that's the ultimate, when you can get a player to be his own coach. I think that that's when we really achieve something. And so each player's got little different things that click for them, and making sure, as a matter of fact, you know, I had a couple individuals this morning, and just making sure they've got a grasp of what they are trying to do. And then, you know, pitchers obviously have a pretty specific throwing schedule to be at the, you know, the amount of pitches and stuff we want them at when they get here. Emphasizing again, you know, you've got 4 years, 5 years to to do this, and then you don't get it anymore. So, yeah, maybe you got to miss this trip or that trip or whatever. But, you know, it's hugely important to stay on task, stay on schedule, and make sure you're getting your work in daily. And then, you know, use examples in a positive sense of guys that have done that and, you know, gone from not getting a jersey to being the opening day starter to, you know, guys that coming out of the fall were your ace or, you know, going to be the everyday shortstop and didn't do what they were supposed to do over Christmas. It was quite evident and got their job taken. So, you know, I think, and then, you know, like I say, making sure as we head off into that break that the players again are holding each other accountable, with texts or phone calls. Hey, you know, I did this, I did that, you know, are you doing your stuff? And so, I think, like I say, when the group has a goal in mind and everybody is committed to obtaining that, you know, I think it can be done. And, you know, it's something we really have prided ourselves on over the years is, you know, our guys have come back ready to go. And so it allows us to make a lot quicker progress.
No, I love hearing that. And, you know, I think that's a great plan to put really a lot of the ownership on them and making sure and you're hoping and praying that they all come back and make good decisions and then you get back. So like, what does that sprint look like? So you get them the first week of January and then you guys are starting games a few weeks later. So what do you choose to spend your time on? Cause everyone is limited on time. I mean, we can't practice 6 hours a day every day.
Right.
So what do you guys, how do you guys feel like when you get to the first game and you feel prepared as possible, what had you done the previous month to make sure that you have that feeling?
Well, again, you know, we get about 3 weeks. We get actually this year, 3 weeks and 3 days. You know, the good thing is we come back January 10th. And so that is, we don't start school till the following Tuesday. So we get about 5 or 6 days. And the nice thing about that is there is no NCAA clock, you know, till school starts. And so it allows us, so what we do, we go 2 a days, not real stressful. So in the mornings, and we generally start at 10 or 10:30, sort of depending on temperatures. That's when we come in, we'll work on, our pick plays, we'll work on, bunt defenses. We really don't want to do a whole lot of throwing. As a matter of fact, we don't even make our players, you know, they get loose, but you know, the furthest throw they're going to make 60, 70 feet, it doesn't have to be at 100%. And so we go through our first and third defense, all that type stuff. Then we'll come back about 1:30 or 2 and have a, you know, 2.5 hour practice. You know, and that's when we'll get into more team defense, cuts and relays, individual position defense, and then obviously our hitting, and base running and stuff. And so, and we do a lot of base running. We do anything that doesn't require us throwing, we do in the morning pretty much. That way we're not taxing their arms. Then we'll inter squad that first weekend on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Try to make it as realistic as possible those first 2 days because that's when we don't have our clock. So we'll come early, we'll take BP, they'll go run, get something to eat, we'll come back, take in and out, and then go play. Just that way, you know, that's the hardest thing. And then double headers is really hard because, you know, we're not allowed to practice that, right? You know, we got a 4-hour time limit. And so we do get that one Saturday where we can try to simulate a doubleheader. So providing we've got enough pitching, we do that. We go play 1-7 in an inner squad. We come back inside for 30 minutes, get a snack or whatever, and then go back out because, you know, I think that's for guys that haven't gone through that grind, don't really understand what a long day it is. And so try to get them to where they can handle that mentally as well as physically. But, you know, like I say, we do our pickoffs every day for about 8 or 9 days because we've not put any of that stuff in the fall. And so generally there's a lot of implementation stuff that goes in the spring. We hadn't put in any of our bunt defenses. We hadn't put in any of our first and third. So we got to do that all in the 3 weeks heading into the season. And then just, you know, try to start slow, you know, as an infielder, make sure we're getting below the ball, make sure we're moving our feet, you know, accurate throws over throwing it hard, make sure we're not missing arm side high. Outfielders, again, making sure we're getting correct reads, and then we'll try to work on getting quick reads and just all that stuff of trying to make sure you walk before you run. And then, you know, keep playing, keep competing, and try to figure out who the nine should be out there game one, and then go from there.
I love it. So, you know, with that too, so let's get into some in-season, you know, development and practice design. And, you know, you guys are playing several different times a week. And, you know, here in Oklahoma, barring weather, we are playing, you know, usually four games a week, sometimes five, sometimes three, but usually the average is four. So there's not a ton of time. Like we usually get Wednesdays and then maybe another day. And so trying to balance like all the different things that we need with, hey, we're playing almost every day. I mean, it's a tough balance. So for coaches who are going through that stuff, like what are some different ideas that you have or some different things that you guys have made important? Or, you know, you've done this long enough to where you feel like you have set different things for those days that you do have off. So kind of walk me through what you guys feel like is important, and it may depend on the week and what you guys need to work on. But what is really some advice that you have for me?
Well, I think that is one of the most difficult things is once the season starts, you know, practice. And like you said, you know, you maybe have Wednesday off, but you play on Thursday and you just played on Tuesday. And so, you know, obviously fatigue and those type things are a definite real concern. The one thing we have done, so our conference, you know, we're the biggest conference in the country, in any sport or in any division. So we've become sort of a weekend league. We play on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Since we've gone to that format, it's been way easier because you can sort of get into the football coach mode and really work on some specific things for the specific opponent you have coming up that weekend. So for our schedule is during, you know, we play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, four game series, single game on Friday, doubleheader on Saturday, single game on Sunday. Monday is our day off. And then Tuesday, we generally will inter squad. And sometimes that may not be the case the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, but generally still hitters need more at-bats against game-type pitching. And then you've got pitchers that maybe weren't used that weekend, and so they still need the opportunity to continue to develop and get better and maybe, you know, work their way into the rotation that way. So we'll generally inter-squad on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays really sort of the work day. So that's going to be the day that may be a little longer. And by longer, you know, that one may go 2.5 hours, as opposed to 1 hour 50 or 2 hours. And then Thursday, we go sort of short, and it, although not as short, we're not a take BP, and head to the house team. I don't think we've ever done that. So I would say our general just sort of practice organization, you know, we start off with individual defense, then we do some team defense. And actually, let me correct that. We always start off with base running. Base running is something we do the first 10 minutes of practice, 15 minutes of practice. every day. You know, again, something I don't know how I know I don't have any original ideas. Everything I've gotten, I've stolen from somebody way smarter than me. But remember Mike Socia talking about that and saying, you know, if it's going to be important, most of us do base running at the end of practice. And he's like, if it's really going to be important to you, then do it at the very beginning. And it helps show your players how important that is. And then they're a little more focused at that time too. So we do base running and then defense and then team defense. And then we go through our hitting stations. And then sometimes we'll have a team hitting top competition at the end or we'll be done. And so that's pretty much, you know, obviously within that framework, there are a lot of different ways it can take you. That's sort of our week.
So, you know, with that too, you're dealing with personalities all year long, and you got guys who have the role that they want and guys who, you know, who you don't. So let's say you've got like your fourth outfielder or fifth outfielder. What are those conversations like? Cause it's easy to talk to like the three hole and starting shortstop every single day. Like that's easy stuff, right? But how do you keep those guys that aren't necessarily everyday guys motivated? You know, your reliever that may throw once a week or is fighting for that spot. And just take us through some of the different conversations you have with those guys.
Well, I think, again, that's one of those things we sort of start pushing from the fall because, you know, we have a roster of, you know, around 40 guys and nine play, you know, at a time in the game. So if that math, that means you got 30 guys that aren't playing. And so we talk about just the importance of doing your role that day. And I think one thing that personally helps me is, you know, I was not a good player at all. I don't know. Thank God they kept me on the team. But, you know, so I can identify with that guy. And then we stress just how important that's the one thing. You've got to add value to every player and person within your organization. And I was lucky enough to coach at Texas A&M under Mar Johnson, Hall of Famer, and just the best I've ever seen at making every person involved in that program feel essential to the success of that program. And so I think that's one thing we try to instill. And so for, you know, the four string outfielder, it's, you know, here are the things you got to get better at. And then I always try to find an example of a guy that has played for me. And luckily I've done it enough. I've got pretty much somebody for about every situation, you know, that was in that position and then ultimately got to the position they wanted and then had a great deal of success, but this is how they did it. And, you know, that's the thing is, you know, that goal of winning the national championship so on down the road, but, you know, so there are a lot of great todays that end up culminating in that, but we got to take care of today. And today right now is the most important day. And, you know, here are the things we can do to make today a great day. And then, you know, put a bunch of todays together and we end up with that thing, not only team-wise, but also personally-wise. And, you know, like I say, it all goes back to the group caring about each other and loving each other and just all those things. So it's something that is a challenge. But you know, I think when you constantly, you know, are promoting the same message, it's a lot easier to get guys to believe in it.
No doubt. So, you know, with that too, you know, you're talking through your coaching staff and making sure, you know, your consistent messaging throughout from the top down. So take us inside some different meetings that you guys have. I'm sure there's a lot of informal things, but do you guys sit down and kind of walk through things on a daily basis, or is it weekly? Is it monthly? I mean, just because, again, you hire good people, you want to coach them up. So you are in charge of developing the staff and making sure the staff is, you know, taking your vision and running with it. And you're also in charge of hiring good people and letting them work. So you know, over the years, what's your best practices on how to develop your staff, how to make sure that you guys are on the same page, and then at the same time, letting them be who they are and letting them coach?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, and you already mentioned Adam, and then we've got Sam Mode, who's one of the best coaches I've ever seen. You know, we don't have a whole lot of meetings. We meet before the fall. We'll meet here, you know, we ended our team segment in the fall. We met, and then we'll meet again here at the end of next week that are sort of formal stuff. Other than that, it's very informal stuff every day, you know, whether it be recruiting, player development, all that stuff. And then the great thing about the individual times, we all have our position groups and have certain players that we're working with, but it frees us up to go watch each other as well. And so, you know, there's some things that Coach Mota do that I'm just like, man, okay, love that. See how he's talking or what words he's using to get through to a certain player to help me maybe do a better job with that particular player. Watching Coach Foster work with his guys as well. And so we all, I think, work with each other. And then obviously during that, you know, there are 8 billion conversations from recruiting to travel to player development to any of that stuff. So we're not a big formal meeting thing, but the communication between all of us is pretty constant. And there's a lot of it that goes on a daily basis.
Oh, very cool. And, you know, with that too, you know, again, you hire good coaches, you train them up, and I'm sure they go on to do great things. And, being a guy that is consistently attracting good coaches, you obviously let them do their jobs too. And I think that's always a really good balance. And, you know, with that too, let's talk a little bit about, you know, getting into the postseason. And I you guys have obviously had success and coming off of a national championship. What is your process of getting guys ready? Is it just staying consistent with the things that you're doing? Or like you guys, you know, I've heard people say, hey, we shorten up practices a little bit. I think you even mentioned that as the season goes on. But best advice for, you know, being ready to compete in the postseason?
Well, I think, again, that starts at the beginning of your fall or your spring season. Again, it's got to be, again, the constant message. And so that's the one thing we've been very successful in the postseason over the years. And, you know, the one thing I've sort of noticed, you know, our pitchers are throwing the hardest they've thrown all year. Always when we get to May and June, where sometimes our opponents have dropped 3 or 4 miles an hour. And so I think that's something, if you have the luxury to do it, that you sort of do in the course of the season. As far as practices, we, from my understanding of talking to other coaches and stuff, we practice a lot less than most of the other teams that I've spoken with as far as actual time. So we try to do it so our players are ready to go and feeling good at the, you know, when we head into postseason. So I think that's something that is we're conscious of year round and try to make sure we don't run our guys into the ground when we get to the postseason. Then I would say the biggest thing in the postseason, and you know, that was definitely the underlying message last year, was be us. Don't try to be somebody you are. You know, I think all of us, we all watch TV, listen to podcasts, radio, et cetera. And the message you hear a lot from the talking heads on TV is, well, now it's the postseason. So-and-so is going to elevate their game. Right. And that's the one thing that we really preach against is you don't have to elevate your game. Your game is good enough. Go be who you are. We don't want to all of a sudden You know, and then for us too, I mean, we play 50 game regular season. I mean, we'll tell our guys, and we've already told them, you know, game one of the playoffs is opening day. Every game is a playoff game. And when you really can treat it like that, you get to the postseason, the lights don't get too big. Nothing gets too big because you've already done it 50, 60 times. And so it's normal. And so I think all those things play a part in the players feeling comfortable, feeling confident, and then able to go out and be them and play to their highest ability.
I love it. With that, you know, I've got, you know, a couple of different quick hitters for you and just some different things that we could probably steal from you. And then we'll get this cut up and send it out to some people to learn from you. And I'm thankful for that opportunity as well. But what are some things that may be unique to Angelo State? So are you guys go Angelo or Angelo State? Like if you were going to introduce yourself or talk about your program.
Angelo State.
Okay, perfect. So with that, what are some things that are unique to Angelo State? What are some, you know, drill sets or maybe different competitions you guys like or anything that you guys feel like you maybe you hear about or you know, people have commented, hey, you guys do this a little bit unique or you guys do that intentionally. What comes to mind?
Well, the biggest thing, I mean, especially last year, because last year we did it a little more than we normally have. You know, people ask all the time about our ability to bunt, which again has sort of been a thing in the game that maybe isn't quite as prevalent as it used to be. We play the bunt game. You know, people think actually we practice our bunting way more than we actually do, but again, it's one of those things that's ingrained to a player of here's the standard and you better be able to do it. and then we teach them how to do it and then we practice it. But we play a game, just we call it the bunt game. We basically put an infield out, put pitchers out. Generally we do it. I throw from about 35, 40 feet at pretty good, you know, percentage. Throwing it a little harder than BP. We have bunters on there. I mean, one team of bunters, one team of fielders, and third baseman's got to be even with a bag. First baseman's got to be even with a bag, and you start and leadoff guy's got to get on with a hit. Now he's only running to an 80-foot base, so it's 10 feet shorter. But we throw to the 90. And, you know, that's how it starts the inning. Guy on first, we got to get him to second. The only way we count it as an actual out is if, you know, you pop up or we get the lead runner, move the guys around the bases that way. We always play a max of five runs. But that does a couple of things. On the defensive part, you know, it speeds up the game a little bit on the pitchers and the third baseman and the first baseman. It allows them to have a little better clock in their head and put some pressure on them. And then, obviously from the bunters, they can see what is an effective bunt, you know, with a real defense out there. And so that's been one of our best things, you know. I mean, we don't really ever sacrifice bunt, even though it may go down as a sacrifice bunt, but we probably get 40, 50, 60 hits a year on bunts. And it's just one more tool in the tool bag we can use when we need to use it. And then if it's not there, then we'll find another tool to try to use. But that's one of my favorite ones, you know, that I think really has a positive effect upon their play.
I love it. So with that, what are some of your players' favorite drills? So things that they like, things that they get excited about, practice designs, anything like that?
Oh, you know, one thing, we try to come up with cool names for the drills, even though the drill might be way below the name. We've got the ones they like, and I think they like them because of the names more than anything, but we've got a hitting game where you and it's really to work on driving the ball to the opposite field. You get two infielders in second base. It's only on one side of the diamond, and then one outfielder out there, and we call it Death Blow. I'm a big Seinfeld fan, so that was a movie from Seinfeld. And again, you've got to drive the ball through the, if the infielders sort of same as Major League Baseball shift rule now, if they get outside the back of the infield, it's a hit, and we'll get into teams of three and play that. Just trying to work on driving the ball the other way rather than trying to sort of flick it over there. That's one that guys like. We play around the world, which, you know, traditional basketball sense is, you know, you start with a layup and go around the key to the 3-point line and all that, make them all. And so we do that with teams where basically we set up targets, you know, on the field. You've got to hit it hard through that specific target to move on. If you take a chance, you go back. And so that's generally infielders and catchers against outfielders or whatever, and that gets heated. But, you know, I think that's one of the things in today's game. You know, a hit is a ball so well hit so hard or so well placed that a fielder can't get to with a ordinary effort. And I think we've sort of forgotten about the place part and only are caring about exit velocity. So we work on trying to hit it where the defense isn't. And it's worked pretty well for us.
Love that. The next question I have for you is, what's the latest thing that you've learned that's made you better at your job?
Well, I would say, you know, we've gotten so much more information in regards to the analytics and stuff. And so I think it has become such a valuable tool to not be the sole source, but to be just another piece of the puzzle to, you know, to make your product better. And so I would say, especially in the last 5 years, you know, trying to learn as much as I can on the spin rates, on all the different analytical tools that are available to us, in trying to help in the teaching process, because, you know, we all learn differently. And then obviously use of video, you know, all that stuff, but being able to identify with a player which information is going to help him. And so, you know, our coaching staff and myself, we go through loads and loads and loads of, you know, of all the numbers and data and all that stuff. And then, you know, we share what we feel like can be useful for our team or individual players in order to help make us better, and then to make our players better. And I think that's been a something that I think has helped make me better in the last few years. Because, you know, I think it's a valuable tool. I don't think, you know, I don't think anything, you know, anything in excess is probably bad. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's true with the analytics as well.
Oh, really good. And then finally, what is one thing? So you go back since you started the program, and this is a really deep question, but it's something that I think is a really good exercise. You go back and you say, okay, this was one thing that I implemented, and you can name a few, which would probably suffice, but this was one thing or a few things that I implemented early on that I think really set us up for success and built us to where we are today. So like you've implemented this thing and it's made the biggest impact in your program. What would that be?
I'd say there are two. I'd say the very first thing I did when I got the job is I went and had a sign made, and it says the Angelo State winning tradition will not be entrusted to the timid or the weak. And, you know, that's the first thing the guys see every day and sort of look back at that and go, man, you know, we hadn't played a game. That might have been a little premature to put that sign up. But, you know, I think it was hopefulness and what was to come. And so I think that's a, you know, it's just a driving force behind us. You know, we're a West Texas town with a lot of hardworking people and tough people and, you know, ranchers and farmers and people that go make their living, working a lot of tough jobs, and long hours. And, you know, I hope we represent, the city of San Angelo, and the people with that type of, work ethic. So I think in toughness. And so I think that's something that, I hope, you ever come, you know, have a chance to watch our teams play. We're not going to flinch. We may get beat, but we're not going to cower or anything. And so I think that's been big. And then, you know, we've got a thing that and I can't tell you what it is, but we have a gold dot that is stands for, you know, some things that we're trying to accomplish that we actually give to our players at the end of the fall, tell them to put it on a watch, their phone, whatever, something they're going to see quite often. And, you know, I know mine's on my watch. And so every time I look and see what time it is, I see that gold dot. And it just for a second reminds me of our baseball program and what we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do. And so just some little things, you know, that are ours, you know, give us an identity and hopefully give our guys some pride and something to shoot for.
I love that. You know, I'm actually, I actually had a conversation with one of our sign guys about putting that on a sticker in our locker room. And so the one that I was thinking was the pride and winning tradition of Claremore baseball will not be entrusted to the weak or the timid. And I worked for a guy at Union who had that sign. And I was like, that's one that wherever I go, anybody that we can have that's weak or timid is not going to fit in with the culture that we have here. So that rings true for me. And I love hearing that. And I just, you know, Coach Brooks, I couldn't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing so much with us today. And I'm so thankful for the relationship that we've started today, and hopefully that will continue and I can bug you on some different stuff. So, but with that, you know, I'd love the opportunity to let you talk to our guests one more time. If there's anything else that you want to say or anything else that you want to go over, the mic is all yours, and they are all yours.
I think we covered everything. I, you know, like I say, I'm just blessed. The good Lord has been very, very good to me. And, you know, what a great profession we've got. You know, I still hadn't had to work a day in my life getting to be around such great young people and hopefully, you know, plant some seeds and have a positive impact upon their lives, I think is such a blessing. And so privileged to get to do it.
Thank you so much for listening to Ahead of the Curve. If you would do us a huge favor, leave a rating or review wherever you are listening. And if you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone and tag us on social media. That would help us so much with growing the show and helping others to stay ahead of the curve.